In Memoriam, President Boyd K. Packer, Farewell to a Master Teacher. Members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints lost more than a dedicated leader when President Boyd K. Packer, president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, passed away. They lost a master teacher who taught even the most complex gospel topics with clarity. President Packer dedicated his life to serving his Heavenly Father and to teaching Heavenly Father's children, beginning with his own family, continuing with a career in seminary, and then in his worldwide ministry as a general authority. He looked to the Savior as his model for teaching. In his 1975 book, Teach Ye Diligently, he wrote, "Consider, please, that he has declared, what manner of man ought ye to be? Verily I say unto you, even as I am." 3 Nephi, chapter 27, verse 27. I do not hesitate to admit that I desire to teach as he taught. Though that may be far beyond my capabilities, he is nevertheless the ideal. It is not untoward for any of us to aspire to be like him. As a young man, President Packer pledged to God full and unwavering lifelong loyalty. He lived out that pledge and left a legacy that will be a spiritual landmark for other disciples of Jesus Christ. While the world in general might not be aware of all of Boyd K. Packer's contributions, his works are known to the source of their inspiration. Early years. Boyd Kenneth Packer was born on September 10, 1924, the 10th of 11 children born to Ira White Packer and Emma Jensen Packer. Theirs was a family in which hard work and obedience to gospel principles were simply the way one lived. Ira was a skilled mechanic who owned an auto repair garage in Brigham City, Utah, about 60 miles, 100 kilometers north of Salt Lake City. Both of Ira's parents came from farming backgrounds. Emma grew up with a love of nature and the outdoors that would carry over into the life of her son Boyd. His love of the outdoors, nature, and animals was expressed in much of his artwork, particularly his detailed, sensitive carvings of birds. His ancestors were pioneers, British on his father's side and Scandinavian on his mother's. The brass door knocker on President Packer's front door and on the doors of his grandchildren's homes is modeled after a yoked ox carving he made. For members of the Packer family, it symbolizes two important things. First, their pioneer ancestry, and second, willingness and faith to take on the yoke of the master. See Matthew chapter 11, verses 29 through 30. Sometimes in my growing years, I thought we were poor, he once wrote in a short life history. I later learned that that was not true. We just didn't have any money. We were always rich in the things most significant in our lives. At age 5, Boyd contracted polio. His illness was diagnosed at the time as pneumonia, and he seemed to recover with no significant after effects. But the polio would come to be a challenge later in life. Because of World War II, he was unable to serve a mission. In 1943, he joined the United States Army Air Corps, graduating as a pilot in 1944. He was trained to fly bombers and spent almost a year stationed in Japan after the war was over. Because of pain he suffered while serving as a pilot, X-rays were taken, showing evidence of his earlier polio in the malformed bones of his knees and hip. In the last years of his life, the effects of that polio left him using a wheelchair. While in the military, he found ample opportunity to study the gospel, reading the Book of Mormon several times. He referred to that book as the single most powerful influence in my life. More than once, he told the story of gaining his own witness of the truth of the gospel in an isolated bunker one night on a tiny island in the Pacific Ocean. He walked away from that bunker a different man because he knew. What had been a belief and a hope had crystallized into certainty. He knew. He also found ways to be a missionary. Boyd K. Packer was one of those Latter-day Saint servicemen who helped reintroduce the gospel in Japan in the mid-1940s. He was instrumental in bringing Tatsui Sato into the church, a man whose later work in translation helped many Japanese members enjoy the scriptures and temple ceremonies in their own language. Marriage and family. Returning home, Boyd enrolled in Weber College, now Weber State University in Ogden, Utah. There he met Donna Smith, whom he married on July 28, 1947, in the Logan, Utah Temple. They would become parents of 10 children, Alan, Kenneth, David, Laurel, Russell, Spencer, Gail, Kathleen, Lawrence, and Eldon. President Packer always credited his wife for the success of their home life. He described her as a dynamic woman who had a great and powerful motivating influence. Her influence on him was described well by a longtime friend, Elder A. Theodore Tuttle, 1919 through 1986, of the First Quorum of the 70. He and President Packer served together as teachers and administrators in the church educational system. In a foreword to one of President Packer's books, his friend Theodore wrote, "There is one source of inspiration available to Elder Packer that is not available to anyone else. That is Donna. She is the one who has borne their 10 children and borne much of the responsibility of rearing them, due to his call as special witness. She it is who is his sweetheart, his friend, and his quiet support." President and Sister Packer were wonderful examples of unity. Their son Alan explains, "If you see Dad, you see Mom. If you see Mom, you see Dad. They're together. They're unified. They influenced each other, especially, of course, in the home." His role as father was always a top priority, so he found time for his children. If he was carving wood or painting, and his children wanted to participate, he would let them. His son Alan remembers, "He would stop and give us a brush with some paint, and we could work, and then we would lose interest. He would go about repairing. And so behind some of the layers of paint are some contributions that the kids made." As a young father, Boyd served the church in local callings and also his community as a city councilman in Brigham City. At the same time, he was employed by the church educational system. He had received an associate's degree from Weber State College, 1948, and a bachelor's degree from Utah State University, 1949. He received a master's degree also from Utah State University, 1953, and a doctorate from Brigham Young University, 1962. In 1955, he was appointed as an assistant administrator of seminaries and institutes for the church. He was serving in that role when he was called as an assistant of the 12 in October 1961, shortly after his 37th birthday. While he was an assistant to the 12, he also served as president of the New England Mission, where his integrity and ability helped him make many friends for the church among civic and business leaders. Despite the heavy demands of these callings, President Packer continued to put family first. Said his son, Alan, "He always knew that the family was the eternal organization, and so that had priority. If we called his office, his secretary had instructions that no matter when we called or what meeting he was in, we were always to be able to be put through. And that's what we experienced if we needed even just to say hi. Sometimes we were a little embarrassed if we were interrupting a meeting with several of the senior brethren, but that was the instruction. It was that he was always available." Call to the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. In 1970, he was called to the Quorum of the 12 Apostles following the death of President David O. McKay. his service in the Corps began as a new president of the church was sustained, President Joseph Fielding Smith. Elder Packer's later callings to preside over the Corps would also coincide with the sustaining of new church presidents. In June 1994, when President Howard W. Hunter retained President Thomas S. Monson as second counselor in the first presidency, Elder Packer, the next senior apostle, became acting president. In February 2008, he was set apart as president of the Corps after President Monson became president of the church. A 1970 article reporting on his call to the Corps of the Twelve quoted Elder Packer regarding how he had planned his life. "A number of years ago, I chose several basic objectives in life, things that I wanted to be and do. First, I wanted to be a good father. Livelihood, hobbies, even social opportunities had to be weighed against whether or not they related to that ideal. I soon learned that the perfect plan for fatherhood was the gospel. Home is the center of the gospel and of my life. The second goal that I had was that I wanted to be good, good for something. Mostly, I wanted to be a good son to both my earthly father and my heavenly father. I have never thought that I deserved to have good children unless I could be one myself. I've had an idea that we contribute to the glory of our Father in heaven when we add in our own person one more worthy individual. I felt that I wasn't worthy to get what I wasn't willing to give." Elder Packer spoke also of how we can receive help in pursuing objectives like these. "It seems to me that there is a great power in the church, in all of us, that is untapped because we are always setting about to do things in our way, when the Lord's way would accomplish much greater returns. Why don't we talk to our Father, in specifics, about real problems, as often as we would with our earthly Father if he were nearby?" President Packer's service in general church leadership brought many years of schooling under the hand of the Lord. His ministry spanned generations and continents. One woman recalled how Elder Packer, speaking in the Pioneer Tabernacle in her southeastern Idaho town in the 1960s, touched her life when she was a teen. He called on young people in the congregation to go home and express love for their parents and thank them for their sacrifices. Expressions of love like this were not common in her home, nor in the homes of her peers. Elder Packer's message caused her to consider what it was costing her parents in labor and self-denial to raise a large family on the income from a small farm. It gave her new appreciation for her pioneer ancestry and spiritual heritage. In Germany in the early 1970s, Elder Packer and his wife had to travel by train from Munich to Berlin overnight to fulfill one of his church assignments. Two young missionaries had taken them to the train. As it was pulling out of the station, one of those young elders asked through the window if Elder Packer had any German money. When Elder Packer responded no, the missionary running alongside the train handed him a 20-mark note. A few hours later, that 20-mark note proved crucial to finishing their journey safely. It helped change the mind of an East German soldier who could have put Sister Packer off the train and arrested her because her older type of passport was not accepted by his government. The young missionary who had handed that 20-mark note to a visiting apostle was David A. Bednar, who some 30 years later would serve with President Packer in the Corps of the Twelve. "The point of the story," President Packer said, "was that when we are in the service of the Lord, we need not worry about being able to fulfill our assignments because His hand will be with us. Anyone who followed the ministry of Boyd K. Packer knew that the hand of the Lord was with him." The love he possessed for his fellow Latter-day Saints could be felt when he ministered among them. On a narrow hilly spot in the Mayan Highlands, in the Mamostenango, Guatemala stake, there is a small meeting house that was dedicated by Elder Packer in the mid-1980s. The members who were present fondly recall how the strength of his witness touched their spirits and they still remember the love they felt as an apostle of the Lord walked among them. Teacher and witness. The brethren who served with Boyd K. Packer in the Quorum of the Twelve came to know his family to teach gospel principles and his steadfastness in following them. Elder Packer is very much a teacher, commented President James E. Faust, who served as a counselor in the First Presidency. While all of the 12 are teachers, he's a teacher in the 12. Elder Packer's love of and use of the scriptures and leadership roles influenced the direction of the entire church, President Faust said. Elder Russell M. Nelson once noted that when the Quorum of the 12 was weighing a problem, Elder Packer would often search for relevant teachings from the Book of Mormon to help find a solution. Without the Book of Mormon, Elder Packer couldn't be the prophet he is. He is a gifted seer. His teaching from the scriptures was characterized by deep comprehension, Elder Nelson said. No one has plumbed the depths of this man. Once Elder Packer was asked if it is difficult for 12 men with strong intellects and widely varying backgrounds to agree on the direction of the affairs of the church. Members of the 12, he explained, share something that no other men on the earth share. They bring great individual strengths and abilities to bear on their collective responsibilities. And then they unanimously bend their wills to divine inspiration received. We're all individual, and we're all resolute, but we're all one. In his later years, the expression of his apostolic writings seemed to become somehow more urgent for him and ever more plain. President Packer's voice of testimony was a reliable constant in the church, a world of witness that never faltered. It was never hard for the hearer to discern that Boyd K. Packer knew. After the sustaining of President Monson in the April 2008 General Conference, President Packer's report of what happened showed both reverence for church callings and certainty as to their divine origin. There was no question about what would be done, no hesitancy, he said. In that sacred meeting, Thomas Spencer Monson was sustained by the Quorum of the 12 Apostles as the president of the church. The process was not new. President Packer explained the Lord himself set in motion this pattern of administration. In 2010, President Packer returned to his hometown of Brigham City to break ground for the Brigham City, Utah Temple on the site of his old elementary school. 2 years later, he presided over its dedication. Throughout the process, he showed his characteristic humility. I didn't propose there be a temple in Brigham City, he said. The brethren thought that up. My contribution was not objecting. The same was true of the dedication. I didn't assign myself to that. I am glad I was assigned to it. I am grateful. Always striving to improve. Throughout his life, President Packer was constantly striving to improve. He spoke of the living apostles, including himself, as ordinary people who might wonder why they should be called to this holy office. There are many qualifications that I lack. There is so much in my effort to serve that is wanting. There is only one single thing, one qualification that can explain it. Like Peter and all of those who have since been ordained, I have that witness. I know that God is our Father. He introduced His Son, Jesus Christ, to Joseph Smith. I declare to you that I know that Jesus is the Christ. I know that He lives. He made His atonement. Of Him I bear witness. Many years ago, after receiving a personal witness on that tiny island in the Pacific, he wanted to give something back. He wanted to formalize his commitment as a disciple of Jesus Christ. It had become critically important, he remembered, to establish this intention between me and the Lord so that I knew that He knew which way I had committed my agency. I went before Him and said, I'm not neutral, and you can do with me what you want. If you need my vote, it's there. I don't care what you do with me. And you don't have to take anything from me, because I give it to you, everything, all I own, all I am. Those who loved and honored Boyd K. Packer will have every confidence that the Lord has accepted his offering, an offering magnified through a lifetime of sacred service. Sidebars. Tributes from President Boyd K. Packer's funeral, July 10, 2015, Salt Lake Tabernacle. It is to the family, especially to the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren, I wish to speak. As Grandpa, who describes himself as an ordinary man, embarked on the journey of life with his sweetheart, he decided to give the Lord that which the Lord would never ask for nor take. Grandpa willingly gave his agency to the Lord. He committed to whatever the Lord asked him to do. With this gift to God, the Lord began to mold this couple to become extraordinary servants. Because of the atonement of Jesus Christ, when the right time comes, Grandpa's spirit will fit back into his body, never to be separated again. This is called the resurrection. I know that Grandpa still is alive, and that if we live worthy, we will see him again. Grandpa has a deep testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He knows it is true. Elder Alan F. Packer of the 70, son. As I have often said of President Packer, he is an apostle of the Lord from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. He wore out his life in the service of the Savior of the world. President Packer was a true shepherd of the general authorities, which endeared us to him. He often reminded the brethren to pay attention to what your wife says. When she says you're tired, you're tired. When she says you don't feel well, you don't feel well. Those of us who had the privilege to know Boyd K. Packer personally were constantly impressed by his sense of humor and quick wit. Somehow he would have an appropriate and humorous response to almost any situation. Boyd K. Packer was a great defender of the church and kingdom of God, and a teacher of the pure doctrine of Jesus Christ. Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. In addition to his sacred calling as an apostle, President Packer will best be remembered as a teacher. He was always teaching. He taught by example. He taught by talks and books. He taught by individual counsel, and he taught in small groups. He always taught entire loyalty to the leadership and decisions of the president of the church. He taught that the study of doctrine will improve behavior quicker than a study of behavior. This encouraged us to teach doctrine and principle rather than rules. He repeatedly reminded the 12 of the importance of each individual member of the church, especially those who were struggling financially. He sometimes said, "We should always act as if they were present here in our councils." His fervent testimony and his unusual gifts of seership were an inspiring example to all of us. Elder Dallin H. Oakes of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. During the past 50-plus years, President Packer and I served together on dozens of committees and church bodies and boards. We filled countless assignments together throughout the world. Our friendship is one of long standing. Boyd Kenneth Packer knew the Lord, and the Lord knew him. I have a firm testimony of this truth. He was inspired and talented as a teacher. He possessed the ability to turn complex ideas into language easily understood by all. He taught with power and with authority. President Packer's deep and abiding testimony of the Savior and of the gospel has been heard throughout the world and has touched and blessed countless lives. He fulfilled the scriptural mandate to lift up the hands which hang down, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. He remembered the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. He gave of himself for the blessing of others. He lived as he taught, after the pattern of the Savior whom he served. His eternal spirit is now free from a body worn by work and impaired by illness. He has gone to that paradise for which he is so well qualified. He leaves to his family and to all of us who knew him a legacy of Christ-like love and devoted service. From the islands of the sea, from the hamlets and faraway places with strange-sounding names, from the hearths and the homes of the many whose lives he blessed, comes a resounding expression of gratitude. Thank you, Father, for such a man as Boyd K. Packer. President Thomas S. Monson. Selected Teachings. The Holy Ghost. These delicate, refined spiritual communications are not seen with our eyes, nor heard with our ears. And even though it is described as a voice, it is a voice that one feels more than one hears. The Spirit does not get our attention by shouting or shaking us with a heavy hand. Rather, it whispers. It caresses so gently that if we are preoccupied, we may not feel it at all. The Candle of the Lord, Ensign, January 1983, pages 52 and 53. Repentance. In the battle of life, the adversary takes enormous numbers of prisoners, and many who know of no way to escape and are pressed into his service. Every soul confined to a concentration camp of sin and guilt has a key to the gate. The adversary cannot hold them if they know how to use it. The key is labeled repentance. The twin principles of repentance and forgiveness exceed in strength the awesome power of the adversary. Our Moral Environment, Ensign, May 1992, page 68. Temple work. Say the word temple. Say it quietly and reverently. Say it over and over again. Temple, temple, temple. Add the word holy. Holy temple. Say it as though it were capitalized, no matter where it appears in the sentence. Temple. One other word is equal importance to a Latter-day Saint. Home. Put the words holy temple and home together, and you have described the house of the Lord. The Temple, the Priesthood, Ensign, May 1993, pages 20 through 21. The Restoration. Joseph's vision of the Father and the Son opened this dispensation. Then came the restoration of the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the same organization that existed in the primitive church, built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. The 12 Apostles, Ensign, November 1996, page 6. Doctrine. True doctrine, understood, changes attitudes and behavior. The study of the doctrines of the gospel will improve behavior quicker than a study of behavior will improve behavior. Do Not Fear, Ensign Erliahona, May 2004, page 79. Priesthood. We have done very well at distributing the authority of the priesthood, but distributing the authority of the priesthood has raced, I think, ahead of distributing the power of the priesthood. The priesthood does not have the strength that it should have, and will not have until the power of the priesthood is firmly fixed in the family as it should be. The Power of the Priesthood, Ensign Erliahona, May 2010, page 7. Family. The ultimate end of all activity in the church is to see a husband and his wife and their children happy at home, protected by the principles and laws of the gospel, sealed safely in the covenants of the everlasting priesthood. And a little child shall lead them, Ensign Erliahona, May 2012, page 8. The Atonement. The atonement is individual. And if you have something that is bothering you, sometimes so long ago you can hardly remember it, put the atonement to work. It will clean it up, and you, as does he, will remember your sins no more. The Plan of Happiness, Ensign Erliahona, May 2015, page 28. End of the article, In Memoriam, President Boyd K. Packer, Farewell to a Master Teacher. Read by David Shaw.